8:34 the time. That's Animal Collective. We are 26 minutes shy of 9 o'clock, a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed show coming in at 10 a.m. this morning. We have Annie Hamilton, a performer. We just happened to catch her as a part of the leg of her Southern California tour. Australian magnificent performer will be in studio for a performance and conversation during the 10 o'clock hour. Right now, however, as we do each and every Thursday, we are delighted to speak with our mayor, Sue Kemp, stepping in for a conversation today. Good morning, Mayor Kempf.
Hey, Ed, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today. How are you today?
So far, great.
Good. So far. Until I have this conversation, I think I'm great. First of all, thank you. I know that you've got an incredibly busy morning. You're actually like right in, you stepped out from a meeting to make this call, so I really appreciate that. And I know our audience does as well. Let's get into the meat of this thing right now. You're in full on, and not just the mayor with the responsibilities of mayor and a council member with the responsibilities of council member. You're also running again against six other candidates. One of the questions that our listeners have is let's say you had a dream scenario where everything is going your way. What would be your specific ideas or plans that we might alleviate traffic congestion in town and, more importantly, really address crosswalks and safety with Caltrans? What would be your dream situation?
Well, you know, one thing I think I'd like to do, and so, of course, the Coast Highway is owned by Caltrans. Now, in Dana Point and in Corona Del Mar, both of those cities have taken over the road from Caltrans. And if we take over the road, what I think kind of there's a multi-step process. First is we have a sidewalk project going on with Caltrans, and that's probably going to be a couple-year project. Well, it should have been shorter, but, you know, they've been a little bit of a disaster because, right, you know, some of the sidewalks in North Laguna, they lost their contractor, and then it took forever to get anybody back on board. Hopefully they'll get back on track. We have a really good plan to put, you know, sidewalks in up and down Coast Highway. The second step is that we want to get that road slurried. So, once you slurry a road, it lasts for a pretty long time. After that, I'd be interested in taking over the road from Caltrans. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but the primary reason for me is safety, because we can't control the speeds on Coast Highway right now. Caltrans is responsible for that.
Right.
But if we take over the road, we can slow the traffic down. And that's one of the number one considerations that in accidents, is that people are just going too fast, particularly in that Moss Street beach area where people kind of, the road looks really wide and people just get a lot of momentum and take off. And as they come back into town, you know, like that area through Ramari, people can get going pretty fast.
Right.
So we can slow it down. We can make it look really nice. We could put, you know, medians in and make it, you know, make it a more beautiful roadway than it is now. So I think those kind of things would really help. And then we can figure out, you know, what road improvements we also would like to make for safety. And but the main thing is to slow people down. When you're driving more slowly, you're more inclined to be able to stop on time and not have an accident. That's just proven over many, many years. So that would be my plan for Coast Highway. And I think it'd be a good one. The only thing we need to worry about is liability. So, you know, Caltrans right now, when there's an accident, they're liable. The city of Laguna Beach is not.
Right.
So we have to weigh that against the benefit. And so we're going to have to do some, you know, we have to put on our thinking caps and really look into that.
Right.
Those are my thoughts.
Is your gut feeling that Caltrans would be open to us taking over Coast Highway?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no reason they shouldn't. I mean, both the adjacent cities have done it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think so. I mean, Laguna Canyon Road is along the same line. We just have to be careful because we're a small city. We've got to be able to pay for everything. So,
right.
And we don't get ourselves in a situation, you know, where we've got too much. We're heavily laden with responsibility, financial responsibility. So we just got
to
be careful.
Right. You don't want taking over the highways to become a money pit for us.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Totally.
Let's talk about affordable housing for a second. And we've been hearing about this for several years, and we need more affordable housing. Our teachers need it. Our police officers, would it be great if they lived in town? As I've been listening to the affordable housing arguments, I'm thinking to myself sometimes, wow, this is really just a pipe dream. Will we ever get to a place where we can actually have a affordable housing for teachers and police officers and artists and those that need it?
Well, I think so. It's my hope. So here's the issue. So the HCD has given us our number. The state basically has given us our number of 394. That's our housing. That's our housing number units that we need to add. And there's, you know, there's a ratio of affordable, you know, and low income and affordable and all that. And we, in order to really make it work, we have to, the best way is for the city to donate some property and have a builder come in and build the unit. And they can, there's a lot of grant money available. So, you know, presumably if somebody wants to come in and build affordable units, they can get some grant money to do that. Now, we have identified in the council three sites. I don't think any of them are optimal. One is out in the canyon where the school bus yard is. We'd have to move the school bus yard somewhere else, which would cost a lot of money to do that. The second was back behind Lang Park, where we have those affordable units. We could add some more units back there. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right.
There's some transit there as well. And then the other one was back behind Bouchard's in the parking lot, which I don't really like that. I don't think that's not a great idea, but that was one of the ones we picked. So getting city donated land is the best way to do it, because when you're building affordable housing, if you're a developer and you have to buy the land and you have to build the units and your income, your return is very, very low, it makes it less likely. But I will say one of the things I'd like to see is we could repurpose some of our existing buildings for housing. And we could also take some of our second story office buildings and just do a zoning change or permitting change and make those housing. The only thing you have to be careful about is in the commercial area, short-term lodging is allowed there, but not allowed in the neighborhoods, which is the deal we crafted. So it's a tricky thing. We've got to figure this out. There's some places in the canyon, there's some buildings in the canyon where they used to be some kind of commercial building, but now we could repurpose them and make them into, you know, affordable housing. I don't know. We've got to figure that out. But here's the issue. The state is telling everybody you need to plan for your number of units that you've been assigned. But they're also at some point going to say, you planned, where's your building? And, you know, so we need to get a shovel in the ground or figure this out fairly quickly. Otherwise, the state is going to come in very heavy handed.
Right. So that number of 390, are you saying that number of 394 units might actually be higher if the state has to come in on it?
No, I think they would say, okay, your planning period is over, start building.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So those sites we identified, start building on those sites. So we just need to get, there's a lot of interest. It's not just from people who live and who work here and can't live here. It's also people, kind of a generational problem, where I hear this from a lot of parents, like people that are my age and their kids are out of college and they can't afford to live anywhere. Their rents are high. I mean, my niece is living in North Hollywood and she works for NBC Universal, but you know, I'm helping her with her rent because she's making a pretty good salary, but it's still too high proportionally.
Right. Right.
So this is just, you know, it's a problem. And I think for affordable housing in Laguna, the rents might be a little higher here than they are, you know, somewhere else because our land costs are so high. It's hard for a small town like us, but we're going to have to do it and we're going to have to be clever about the way we do it. So more to come on that. There's a lot of interest in the council on doing it. And I think some of the candidates that are running are also interested in doing it. Right. It's an imperative that we have to meet.
Well, thank you. And thank you for keeping your finger on that button. We'll check back with you from time to time there. When I was listening to the forum the other night, and then a lot of the candidates are talking about it, and it is, of course, Measure Q. I'm curious as to your thought of the potential impacts to residents. What are the, give us the impacts, and do you consider what's been happening in Costa Mesa when you think about Measure Q here?
Well, you know, one thing I noted during the candidate forum on Monday night was six out of seven of the candidates are against Measure Q.
Right.
But what happened in Costa Mesa, they passed a similar ballot measure, only ours was worse. So theirs is more about zoning changes. So let's say something was, you know, one kind of use, and then they're going to change it to another, and they have to change their zoning code. Ours is zoning and also permitting of businesses. Ours goes way beyond that. So what's happened in Costa Mesa is they passed a measure in 2016. They haven't had one project come forward because nobody wants to put it to a vote. So I asked the city, I asked the mayor, I said, what's an example? He said, oh, you know how you guys have that little medical center on that Hogue Medical Center on one of your downtown streets? I said, yeah, on Ocean. He said, we wanted to have expand one of those to similar to what you guys did, and we couldn't do it. Why? Because we'd have to go to the ballot. And the owner of the property said, forget it. I'm not going to go to the ballot at a cost of a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Right.
Forget it, you know? So this is the thing. What I think about when I think about Measure Q is I think about the impact to the residents, because it's really not, I mean, they, you know, purport to say, oh, it's about big development and we're going to have big buildings on the beach and it's not, our town isn't going to be quaint anymore. Well, it isn't going to be quaint anymore because here's the problem. You know, we have a lot of safeguards against big development. We're not going to have any big development here. You know, we just passed an ordinance through the council that basically says you can't have anything over 15,000 square feet. It needs all this design articulation. You can't have some giant block-long development anymore that looks like a big, you know, building, one big monolithic building. But the thing is, it hits us in ways that are very unfortunate. Like, government buildings, for example, are not exempt in the ballot measure. So we're going to build a fire station, which we have a dire need in South Laguna. We bought a property, three parcels. We're combining parcels. Because we combine parcels, the fire station has to go to the ballot.
Right.
St. Catherine's just purchased or purchasing. It's a school. We're going to be changing it to civic uses. That has to go to the ballot. Small businesses, you know, Zinc Cafe, their extra outdoor dining, that would have to go to the ballot. Why? They've added tables and they would be required to pay a lot of money in parking, over $1 million in fees. You'll see almost all the outdoor dining disappear. Why? Because they're adding tables outside. And it's what they call an intensification of use. They'll have to go to the ballot and have to pay exorbitant fees for parking. So kind of all the things we like. Even small businesses, Swell Ice Cream, South Swell Ice Cream, the new Wigs Sandwich Shop, the coffee store that we just approved, at the intersection of Broadway and Forest Avenue. That would have to go to the ballot. That would have had to go to the ballot. So it's very complex, and the problem is you can sit down as those people that drafted it, and I'm not going to say anything about the people. I don't like getting on people.
Right.
But when you actually take, it's one thing to sit at a table and draft it, but when you actually apply it to our town, that's when you spring all the leaks.
Right.
So,
well, allow me to take on some of these people, please, because the proponents of Measure Q are really pushing that false narrative of the giant monolithic buildings. And they're staying very far away from what you had just said. For instance, all of these great local projects that would have to be voted on. It's a quagmire of wasted time and energy.
That's right. Okay. Well, we have a planning department, and you know, we're really, really good at that. I'll give you another example. You never want to tie up your land use like this in a city, and I'll give you an example. In the 70s, for some reason, I don't know who was in charge and who did it, they put the whole city in the coastal zone, whole city. Why is that a problem? Because now we can't have permit parking in the neighborhood. So, like, Dana Point, they have a normal coastal area where it's 300 feet off the beach. They have permit parking. One of the residents sent me a picture of one of their resident permit parking stickers. We can't have that. Why? Because the Coastal Commission controls our entire town, even up at the like, top of the world where the trailhead starts.
Wow.
We could have permit parking in our neighborhoods, but we can't because we've got the whole city in the coastal zone. I don't know if we could get it out again. But the best way to control a lot of this employee parking and parking in the neighborhoods is to build some parking and have resident parking permits.
Okay.
So this is the thing. This comes back to bite you. I'm sure when they passed that back in the day, they were trying to guard against big development. And I get that. But we're largely built out now. And now we're stuck.
Right.
So you really have to think about these things.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that concise answer there for that and for thinking about it. Finally, before we go, I just a little bit about candidate behavior, and I hate to put the thumb on somebody. Earlier this week and even into late last week, I had jumped all over this advertisement, and it's not an actual media outlet or anything, but it's an advertisement that's on everybody's social media now. It's called Heisler Park Press, and they put out this really crappy piece about Ruben. He was standing at his balcony with his shirt off. Whatever. And so I thought, okay, well, you know what? That's irresponsible. First of all, to call yourself press when you're not, and you're really just an advertisement. We knew. Okay, everybody kind of knew. But then I'm watching the forum the other night, and I defended Ruben. I like him. He's a nice guy. I'm defending Ruben. And there he is. He's got a can of alcoholic beverage there during the forum. Talk to us about the respect you have to have for your constituents when you're running for office or you're holding office.
Well, I mean, without addressing that directly, you know, this is the way I feel about it. The council is a very serious job. It is, especially, I feel this particularly since I've been the mayor. You know, it's not just a ceremonial title. You know, a lot of things run through you and you feel very, very responsible. And, you know, we're managing the city's money. You know, we're protecting people. We're focusing on public safety. We're working on quality of life issues. You know, every time I hear a siren, I look at my phone, you know, right. What's going on.
Right.
And, you know, it's a very responsible job. I feel the responsibility every single day. And so you got to guard against your reputation and, you know, try to make sure that people know that you're paying attention and you're being responsible and you're thinking about them. Right. That's the job, you know, so... I don't know. I've run companies. I've run organizations. I have the same philosophy. And that's always the way I take it. As a solemn duty. It's my job.
And we certainly appreciate how seriously you have taken it and how seriously you are taking it. And you are, of course, looking to the future. And we really appreciate that. And I certainly appreciate your time as I do each and every Thursday with us this morning, Mayor Kempf.
Yeah, always good to be with you. Those are good questions today. And, you know, it's an interesting time in Laguna Beach, and we'll see what happens.
All right. How's the hip going? How's the hip? That's I got to ask you that before we go.
Well, here's the thing with the hip. So it's a little better, but, you know, I bought a golf cart.
Okay.
So I'm not super optimistic about a quick recovery here, so I got the golf cart. So I'm going to walk with the golf. I'm going to drive the golf cart around town now, so you might see me driving around.
Okay.
And then I'll walk a little bit.
All right.
That's my plan.
All right. Well, you take it as easy as you need to. And if I ever need a ride from you, I'll have you come pick me up in the golf cart and we'll roll around town together.
Yeah. I'll be the golf Uber.
Mayor Sue Kempf, thank you so much once again for coming in this morning.
Okay. Good talking to you, Ed.
Always appreciate your time. 8:52 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.